Good morning, everybody. Is this okay, or should I? Okay. So Jonathan and the family, I think they're coming back today from Ibiza. So we've been looking at the tomorrow. Thank you. We've been looking at some of the photos on Facebook of their travels, and it seems like they've had a really good time. So that's really good to hear. Young people, be blessed. Have a good time. We pray that God will speak to you. So we're going to be talking about remaining in God this morning. And I want to read from John 15, verses 1 to 17. As I was thinking about what to bring today, this came up straight away, and I do pray that God speaks to each one of us here this morning through his word. And even if it's not necessarily through what I say, because it could all come out not as I've planned, but that the Holy Spirit will really be speaking to your hearts this morning. So John 15, 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And to be honest, when I first thought about this passage, the bit that was in my mind mainly was to do with remaining in God and how God is the vine and we are the branches. We need to remain in him. But to be honest, I hadn't read the whole text. I have read it before, but this particular time when I was preparing, I hadn't read the other verses about what it means to remain in him and how he does show in practice. And that has hit me quite hard because I've had a difficult a couple of weeks. So remain in me. Now, to remain is an action, something that we need to do. We don't just remain in something just by accident. It requires an action. It requires us to do something. But what does remain mean? So I looked at the dictionary. There are a few definitions. The first one, remain is to continue to exist, especially after others have ceased to do so. To stay in the same place that one has been occupying. To stay in the same place or in the same condition. So even these definitions really spoke to me. Because to remain in something, we must have been there before. We don't remain in something where we haven't been. And I think the first challenge that I wanted to just give you on that, it was a challenge to me, was, have you been there? And what I mean by that is, firstly, do you know Jesus? Have you had an encounter with Jesus? Have you been in that place where you know that your sins are forgiven and that you have a new life? And as we journey with God, I remember when I was first a Christian, really on fire for God, used to read, I was single, I was just studying, so I had plenty of time. I used to read my Bible, I used to pray, used to go to as much as I could in terms of, you know, youth events, youth conferences. Our youth group was really key for me during that time, and my leaders at the time. But I wanted to be where I could hear from God, where I could experience His presence, where I could be challenged, where I could grow. And that was a time when, you know, I really grew spiritually, and God did many things, not just for me, but for all the young people that were together at the time. And as I think about remaining, and this has challenged me, it says to continue to stay in the same place or in the same condition. So God was challenging me as I was reading this. Because I always refer back to those days when I was so on fire for God. And it's not that I'm not on fire for God now. My relationship with God has changed for sure. And I'm sure that many of you can relate to this. As you have children, as you go out to work, as other things come into your life. These words really, you know, challenge us. Because He's saying, remain in me. And He knows that, you know, we have all these things going on, but He's still saying to us, remain in me. And for me, God was almost reminding me, remain in me in that place that you used to occupy once, that place where you were so on fire for God that you would, you know, would prioritize anything. You know, you give Him the priority over anything, because that was the first thing that I wanted to do. Now, I'm not going to be praying for hours because I probably don't have the time, although that's my excuse. I might not be able to read the Bible for hours. But God knows where we are. God knows our heart. But God also knows how much we want to seek Him, how much we yearn for Him. And that verse that in Psalms where it says that as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. That really resonates this morning. So to be able to remain, we need to have been in that place. The first challenge, have you been in that place? First, where you know that you are saved, where you know that your sins are forgiven, that you have a hope in God that goes beyond this lifetime. And secondly, the challenge is, if you are a Christian and you have been in that place of being on fire for God, what's stopping you today from remaining in that place? So we are also encouraged here in these verses. It says, have you remained to remain in His love? And to remain in His love, that was a bit confusing for me. Well, if I'm remaining in Him, I'm remaining in His love. But He talks about obeying His commands. So in verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in His love. I mean, it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that we like to hear. We don't like to hear about commands. We don't like to hear about being told to do things. Our nature, I think, is to rebel to anything that maybe tries to shoehorn into something. We don't like that. And so when we hear the word obey, and even in the wedding vows, I think many people choose to remove the vows that say obey. I'm not going to go into if you should do it or not. That's up to you. But, you know, there is something about we don't like to be put in that place where we have to do something that somebody else tells us to do. And this relates, you know, to our relationship with God. Very often we like to live a Christian life where we pray, we have fun, we praise, worship. But when God challenges us to obey a particular thing in our lives, he challenges us to take a different path. He challenges us to look at things in a different way, maybe with our attitudes, maybe with our thinking, maybe with our actions. Then it gets more tricky. Because our natural tendency is to rebel against that. But then we are challenged here that if we want to remain in him, we need to remain in his love. And he says, if you want to remain in my love, you need to obey my commands. And it says here that if we obey his commands, we remain in his love. So almost the two attract. It doesn't, you know, you wouldn't necessarily put love and commands maybe in the same sentence. However, we can relate to maybe as parents, you know, we give instruction to our children or we discipline because we love, because we can see beyond what they can see and we want to protect and we want to bring them into a safer place. And that's exactly what God wants to do with us. And one of the most important commands that we are told, we are given, we can find it in verse 12 and 13. And it says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So if we want to remain in God, we need to love each other. And this is challenging. This is challenging from all sorts of different angles, more challenging at some times than others. Sometimes we feel like we're doing great. Other times things come our way and we are challenged by these words. But what happens when we remain in him? What happens when, against all odds, we decide to stay close to him? In verse 5, it says that we bear fruit. In verse 7, it says that his words remain in us. And that's so important. Very often, we are trying to look for clarity about decisions, clarity about what we should go, what we should say, how we should do this, do that. But he says, if you remain close to me, if you remain in me, my words will remain in you. And I've had that, and probably you have had that experience when you're praying for somebody, and just these verses come out of nowhere, and you remember God's words, and God gives you just a spontaneous word. And so he promises that his words will remain in us if we remain in him. In verse 7, it also talks about our prayers being answered. If we remain in him, our prayers are answered. And in verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And this morning, as we were praying, you know, we need to pray in faith that our prayers are going somewhere. God is listening to our prayers. If we are remaining in him, if our hearts, if our desire is to seek after him, to really long for him and to stay in that place close to him, God listens to our prayers. And in verse 11, it says that our joy is complete. Verse 11, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So sometimes we try to fool ourselves. Oh, I can be joyful just by doing the right thing. You know, friends, family, job, church family, great. Praise and worship is good. I like the way that it's done. And we feel that that's, you know, that's just a happy life, if you like. But God is saying here And it's reminding us here that our joy, so that really inner peace, inner security, that we know who we are, that regardless of what happens, we know that God is with us and that he has our lives in his hand, comes from knowing him. In verse 11, again, if I read this again, it says, I have told you this, so I have told you all these things to remain in me, to remain in my love, so that my joy may be in you. So God gives us his joy as we get closer to him, as we follow his commands, as we find time to seek him. He gives us this joy. And this joy is so that our joy may be complete. So nothing will give us the joy, the happiness that we want to find in this world apart from him, remaining in him. I don't know if you've been in that place where you know that maybe you haven't sought after God, or maybe you haven't been in that place. Things have happened. Maybe you've diverted. Maybe your attention is not solely focused on God. And you yearn for those days when you were that close. I have. I keep quoting when I was 18, and I need to get rid of that because I'm not 18 anymore. I'm 20 years older. But God reminds us that, you know, we can remain in him. And if we remain in him, our joy, that really deep sense of who we are, of security, of peace, of identity, is restored. So I just want to finish by giving us a couple of very practical ways to remain in him. Now, usually when people preach about remaining in him, the usual suspects would be, you know, times of prayer. Prayer is key. Going to church fellowship. Obviously, I'm going to plug the life groups. Join a life group. Have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Pray for each other. Talk about what's going on in your life. That really builds us up. Yesterday, we had life group. And it's just so good just to be with, you know, brothers and sisters and, you know, with our families. Just... I can't ignore you eating banana. Just so good to be family and so good to be around each other. And just know that we're all there for one reason, because we have something in common. We love God. So join a life group. So all these things obviously help us to remain in him. But I just want to touch on two things this morning that we could do to help us remain in him. And the first one is to love each other. And these verses talk about obeying his command, that if we obey his command, and the greatest command that he says here is to love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. So in 1 Corinthians, and this is a popular verses, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 8. If we could have it up, that would be great, so I can read from that and not from my Bible. And it says this: if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And up to, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And these are familiar verses, but they are so true in terms of remaining in him. If we want to remain in him, We need to love each other. We need to show the love of God in our actions. And a lot of the pruning, if not the majority of the pruning that goes on in our life, in that refinement process of our lives, happens when we're in relationships. But God prunes us to make us fruitful. And I've been challenged by those verses where it talks about not staying as babies, not staying in milk, I think are the words that it says, but that we must mature into adults. We must go into solids. And this just really has spoken to me. You know, a lot of what happens here, and we need to just make sure that we are remaining in Him, and that His love shows through us to other people. And the second thing that I want to just finish off with as a practical way to remain in Him is found in Philippians 4:8. A lot of what happens in our day-to-day is governed, if not everything, by our minds, our thoughts, what we think, how we perceive things. And even if something is true or not, the way that we perceive that thing will dictate how I react to it. So you might think this is a huge phone, and I think it's quite small, really. I would love it to be huge so that I could really look at all my pictures. But the way that we perceive things really shape the way that we interact with those things. And so that's why we are challenged in the Word of God to keep bringing our thoughts back to God. Because everything happens here. If we begin our thought process in a negative way or in a critical way or in whatever way we tend to then interact with whatever it is that we are facing with those that particular emphasis. So Philippians 4:8, just to finish, it says this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And so I just want to leave these words with you, that if we want to remain in Him, yes, we know we need to pray. And I think we're emphasizing that as a church, we need to get closer to God. Yes, we need to meet with others. We need to seek God together. We need to pray for each other. We need to know God's word. What is it saying to us? But this morning, let me just emphasize on two things. We need to love each other and show that love. And we need to change our focus, our thought pattern, to bring it captive, like the word says, bring those thoughts captive and give them to God, so that our thought pattern is to think about those things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. So just to finalize, whatever you have heard, or you have learned, or have received from me, this is in verse 9, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And we find that in verse 9 of John 15:9. So whatever you have heard this morning that applies to you, either you haven't been in that place where you can say that you want to remain in, then let me challenge you this morning to speak to somebody. Either maybe you're not a Christian this morning, or maybe you haven't committed your life to God. You don't really know what this is saying. Remain in what? Then I would encourage you to come and speak to one of us, either anybody that you saw on the stage this morning. And then the second challenge for us all, that if we have been in that place, what do we need to do to remain in that place? Life is short, and as we all get older, we find that we're thinking that life is even shorter than we thought it was. So let's spend our time wisely. Let's change our focus. Let's change our thought pattern. Let's love one another. Let's give each other the benefit of the doubt. Let's minister to one another. Let's lift each other up. Let's encourage each other. Let's build each other up so that our time in this world will be purposeful, that God will be able to do what he wants to do, and that we will be there championing you. So let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, because your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, that comes really deep inside our hearts and it penetrates the deepest things in there. And I want to thank you, Lord, because you love us, and that's why you call us to remain in you. You don't want us to be wandering without purpose, without intimacy, without closeness. You say, remain in me and I will remain in you. And this morning, Lord Jesus, I just pray that any here this morning that need to meet you, that need to reconnect with you, that need to be on in that place of intimacy and closeness, I pray that this morning, by your Holy Spirit, you'll touch their lives. And Lord, I pray that that closeness with you will be so reflected in our love for one another, in the way that we communicate with one another. Lord, I pray that we will love each other as you have loved us, with grace, with acceptance. And Lord, I pray that we will be quick to forgive. And Lord, help us with our thoughts, that as we remain in you, that we will be so aware that you are the goal. That lots of things in here sometimes make waves down here. But Lord, let's keep our eyes fixed on you. That our thoughts will be about you. That our thoughts will be true. That our thoughts will be about what you want us to think about. That the things that are praiseworthy, that you want us to direct us in. And I pray that through that, Lord, you'll speak to us. That we will have words of wisdom, words of encouragement for one another. That through that, Lord, you'll do great things among us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have communion. Can we have a song while we get it ready? Thank you. If we could have maybe four people to come and help us with communion. And this morning, as we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, let's just remember that he died for our sins, he died for our infirmities, he died for all those things that divide us, that bring a division between him and us. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We want to thank you for your blood that was shed for each one of us, so that we can have a new life in you. You say that as we believe in you and as we make you Lord of our lives, you come and live in us through your Spirit. And this morning, Lord, around this table, we want to celebrate what you have done for us. We want to remember and celebrate what you have done for us. So we want to thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. As you receive the bread, feel free to eat it. And we remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for each one of us. That through that sacrifice, we have life this morning. Through that sacrifice, we're able to be here this morning. We're able to praise him. We're able to pray with faith for healing, for revelation, for transformation. So we want to thank you, Jesus. for your sacrifice on that cross that allows us to have a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus.